Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts, guests, or agents with IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening.
People, every day, trying to do things their own way. But everything you see, touch, smell, those are things that tell you words to think twice before you step on any advice. Make sure your words hold true, cause people hold you to your words that make people. And people that make the world go round. Words make people. Check out the words that make your world. If your words are jive, then jive you are. Cause those type of words, they don't go far. Think and start working back from ideas deep in your mind. It's words that make people. And people that make the world go round. Words make people. Check out the words that make your mind.
Thank you.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Seek refuge, protection with Allah. Highly glorified the peace from Satan, the rejected, accursed enemy to mankind. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With the name of God, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Allah gives us mercy twice. Allah gives us mercy in Rahmah. Those are benefits that we do not ask for. We don't even have to know to ask for them. He gives us Rahim, he gives us new mercies that we ask for, that we have knowledge of our wrong. We have done wrong, and we acknowledge the wrong. Allah will redeem us. Today's topic is going to be on Islamic discussion on spousal abuse. Yes. Other kind of abuses. Islam is based on justice. Based on justice. So, alhamdulillah. It is our practice, our tradition, if you will, on Words Made People, that before we get into our actual conversation, that we first go to the words of the Quran. So what does Allah say in his book about making people? Because the best words for making people, you will find them in the scriptures. Revealed to mankind, womankind, humankind, over the thousands and thousands of years. And of those various bodies of scripture that has been revealed for our benefit to show us who we are, the best collection, the best preserved collection of the words of the Quran, and we say, Alhamdulillah, the perfect praise belong to God. For giving us the Quran, and Allah promised that he would preserve the Quran without it being tampered with. So you say, well, how is that going to happen? You got translations, you got all different commentaries. Yes, those are the Quran itself, the original Quran has been and will be protected by Allah. So the books, the written copies of books that we have on the shelves of our homes, yes, we say that is the Quran, but really what we should be saying, that is a copy of the Quran. Because when the angel Jibril came to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he did not bring him paper with ink on it. He brought him the word. And so that is the Quran. And so that has been preserved and will be preserved. And the unbelievers can't touch it. And it will not touch the unbelievers. So we seek Allah's protection from Satan, the rejected enemy. When we read the Quran, we say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. I seek refuge with Allah from Satan, the rejected enemy. Those are the words that we say when we read the Quran. I seek refuge with Allah from Satan, the rejected enemy. And then next we say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. That is, with the name of God, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. That's what the words, the two phrases that we say when we before reading the Quran. And that's such a beautiful practice that Islam is giving to us, that we just don't read the word of God like we're reading anything else. We're not just reading any other book or newspaper. We're reading sacred texts intentionally and perfectly designed to address the very essence of our human soul. Newspapers, magazines don't do that. They are there for commercialism. Or some of the writings are there for comedy. But we have to understand, when we say the Quran, the reading, that which is to be read, it's saying that there was something already there, but it just had not been read yet. And that which is to be read is by picture our original human nature. So alhamdulillah, we're going to read today from chapter 30, verse 21. Chapter 30, verse 21, so we can get our copies of the Quran, and we can read it. I'm reading a copy from the internet. This is a very good site, dear people. It's called corpus.quran.com. Wonderful site. corpus.quran.com. Corpus.quran.com. Very good site. Allah says here in his book, what men are yatihi and kalakalakum men and fufsikum aswajan. Allah is saying here in the Quran that in the first part it says, and among his signs is this, that he created for you mates from among yourself. So think about this, dear people. This says this is a sign. This is an ayat, a sign, that Allah has from you created your mate. So the mate is not in Islam, the male and female, the zawj is the word, and zawja means a pair. Allah made everything in the pair, Allah made everything, zawjain. All these words come from the same root word, zawj, zayn, and all that come from the same root word. Zojaha, your mate come as a pair. So we don't have the challenge. If we're following the essence of the Quran, the true essence of the Quran, we don't have the problem that's presented in the Old Testament of the Bible, to where the man came first and then the female just came when she came. We don't have that challenge in the Quran. Allah says, and among his signs is that he created for you mates from among yourselves. Mates from among yourselves. So you, the male and the female come as a pair, like twins. They come at the same time, with the same essence, the same potential in their soul. And Allah's telling us in there and that this is one of his signs, that he created for you mates from among yourselves. So the male is not foreign to the female, and the female is not foreign to the male, according to this verse here. And Allah tells us why he made them, excuse me, I have a cold too, so why he made the male and the female one from the other. He said so that you may find tranquility in them. It says, "Letaskunun ilaha waja'alla baynakum," that you may find tranquility between them. The word tranquility, sakina, peace, tranquility. Allah made us, male and female, one from another, so we can find tranquility. Letaskuna, or we understand sakina, in them. And then Allah says, and he placed, waja'alla baynakum mawaddatan. He placed between you love, wadud. You see that word says my wadatan, wadud, that's in love. This is so beautiful. This is very beautiful. We came one from the other to find peace with each other. And then Allah, he placed waja'alla Waja'alla baynakum madwadata. He placed love between the two. And Allah says, not only with the love he placed between the two, place warahmatan, and mercy, and mercy. So then to finish out the verse, it says, inna fi dhalikal la'iyatan liqawmin yattafakuruna. That Allah says, in this is a sign. So Allah gave it to us as a sign, and then put another sign inside the sign. Oh, Allah's merciful to us. He gave it to us as a sign, and there's a deeper sign into it, but you only get that deeper sign if you are those who do, who reflect. It says, yutafakuruna, those who reflect. Now, I'm on this site, Quran. I clicked on that word, right? Yutafakuruna, and then I can go to the Quran dictionary, and it gives me more meanings to that word. It means those who ponder, those who reflect, those who think or who give thought to. So Allah is telling us that in our relationships as males and females, husbands and wives, it's a sign and a deeper sign for those who think and reflect. But if we're not being mindful and thinking and reflecting on these beautiful relationships, then we're not getting the best from it. The Quran is our book. It's our nature. And I think many people have overlooked that fact, that the Quran is our nature. The Quran is our nature, and our nature is the Quran. So the shaitan cut and take us as far away from our nature as possible. And sometimes we volunteer and go along with the program because we are not in touch with our fitra. Alhamdulillah, like it is allowed me. I'm waiting for my special guest to come up. She knows we have our sister, Latifa Hameen, and she has written books on this topic. And hold on for a second, please. You have to excuse me. I had to get my throat clear. I had this hair cold for a while, but I'm getting better, alhamdulillah. And Sister Latifa should be here very soon because she's going to carry the conversation. But you, our listeners, too, want you to join in and share what's up with us as well with the questions and brief, and I emphasize brief, comments. Because sometimes, you know, I love you, but sometimes we get to talking and time doesn't mean a thing to us. We just keep on talking, and we have to share the microphone, so to speak. So just some reflections upon that beautiful reading of the Quran. And another reading from the Quran, I guess do this in English for time's sake. It says, this is chapter 4, verse 19 of the Quran. It says, O you who believe. O you who believe. You are forbidden to inherit women against their will. Nor should you treat them with harshness, that you may take away part of the dower that you gave, that you have given them, except where they have been guilty of open lewdness. On the contrary, live with them on a footing of kindness and equity. If you take a dislike to them, it may be that you dislike a thing, and Allah brings about through it a great deal of good. That's chapter 4, verse 19 of the Quran. So we, this verse here, it tells us that don't force yourself on women. You can't do that. You can't make them marry you. And you should not treat them with harshness. So you can take back some of the dowry gifts that you gave them, because Muslim man, we have to bring a gift, some wealth when we come. and you may take a dislike to someone after you've been with them for a while. Allah is telling us here, do not treat them with harshness. Don't treat them bad. Treat them with kindness, on the footing of kindness and equity. And then it gets right to the issue. He says, you may be disliking that which is good for you, that to which Allah brings about a lot of good. So this book here, the Quran, is our book. It's our wonderful book. This is the book that we have as Muslims that we follow. So alhamdulillah. I got something here I want to read. I do see that my guests have came. But I'm going to read a little bit this here. I found this online. And it speaks on how the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, fought domestic violence. Written by Brother Abdul Malik Mujahid. He says, their number is not known with certainty. Perhaps there were only two. Maybe there were 20. Regardless, he said that these women approached the man who had thus far given them hope in this world beyond. Okay, let me see. He said that there were some women who approached the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, with a question that remains a problem in marriages over 1,000 years later, through violence. On hearing this, the Prophet called the community to the mosque for a meeting. Whenever there was something he felt all the Muslims needed to know about or discuss, he would have Bilal ibn Rabah, may Allah be pleased with him, give the call to prayer, even if it was not time for prayer. Then when the people came to the mosque, he would lead them in prayer. This would be followed by a special sermon about a topic of concern or discussion about a particular situation. This time, he called the Muslims. It was in order to end domestic violence. The Prophet mentioned to the gathering that seven women had visited his family complaining about their husbands beating them. According to one report, he mentioned that 70 women had approached his family. He criticized these husbands, saying this behavior was unacceptable from those who seek to live by Islam's ideas. This community meeting is supported by two of the best hadith collections of the Prophet, Abu Dawud and Ibn Majah. The Prophet's reprobation was not something Muslim men looked to lightly at the time, since God has described him as a beautiful example. You know, Muhammad, the Prophet called the Uswa Hasanat the beautiful example. And we are obligated to follow the beautiful example of the Prophet. As well, the Prophet's own wife confirmed that he never hit anyone with his hand, neither a woman nor a servant. That's in Sahih Muslim. In addition, the Prophet said, the best among you is the one who treats his family the best. And I am the one who treats his family the best. The Prophet fought domestic violence, a scourge common to many civilizations at that time. He did this by affirming the inherent dignity of women as human beings, responsible and accountable before God. He also did it by directly addressing a hitherto private matter between the husband and the wife. Domestic violence was not a woman's issue, irrelevant to Muslim men. The Prophet understood that this abusive behavior could be changed, but it first had to be brought out into the open and addressed head on. The personal was definitely political. He also understood that ending domestic violence meant helping perpetrators clearly see the utter injustice of physically abusing their wives. I would add in mentally as well. He goes on to say, how does any of you beat his wife as he beats the stallion camel and then sleeps with her at night? How could a relationship that God says is based on love and mercy be characterized by the kind of vicious abuse often meted out to animals, which the prophet also condemned? The change in perception made a definite difference, so much so that men began complaining of their wives' newfound assertiveness. So I'll stop right there to bring up my guest. This is more to me, but we have a very special guest with us, Sister Latifa Hameen. She was radio station, our sister station, AM 360. And she's here with us today, and we're going to bring her on now because we are working in conjunction with AM 360, which is probably the oldest running Islamic blog talk that I know of. Sister Latifa Hameen, welcome to Words Make People. As-salamu alaykum.
Oh, wow, alaykum as-salam, wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Imam Tahir, this afternoon? Alhamdulillah.
I'm doing, I just ain't done. Alhamdulillah.
That's right. Yeah, you know what, Brother Imam, before we get started, I have a couple of hands up. It might have been something to what you wanted, what you were saying earlier. So I'm going to go to these. I have two people here. Is that okay? I just go to them first,
yes,
and then we'll get into the talk. All right, 347-751, assalamu alaikum, Sister Mahasa.
Wa alaikum assalam, alhamdulillah. I thought I was having technical difficulties. Greetings to you, Sister Jantita, and Imam Sahir. This is a riveting program so far in the comments that Imam Sahir has been sharing with us, very inviting in terms of dealing with a very sensitive subject. So I just wanted you all to know that I'm listening in support, and I have a couple of comments that at an appropriate time, let me know, and I will share those with you. I'm loving how he has prefaced this to talk about the most intimate relationship that exists in our community life and how we can perfect it and have it aligned with the uswa of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So I'm going to stop right there.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
All right. Alhamdulillah. 727-408, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. Praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah. Praise. We thank Allah for every day that we wake up and we blessed to be able to make the salat and make the prayer and live a good Muslim life. So praise be to Allah for that. Alhamdulillah. Latifa, I want to use your book to do some points for different programs.
Sure, definitely. Just let me know which one, and I'll talk with you afterwards, and I'll find out which one, inshallah.
Good. Okay, good. Uh-huh. Good. Look, Brother Sahir, he was speaking on something concerning the prophet. I need to know where he's getting that knowledge from, because I need to get it. I want to know where he get it from, so I can go on and get the book or whatever that
he's
getting it from.
Which portion are you referring to?
The last part when you're talking about what it is?
Oh, the reading that was the article? Yes, I got it online.
Dealing with domestic violence, yes.
Yes, sir.
Did you get that from Reddit right here?
I got it online this morning. It's called How the Prophet Muhammad Fought Domestic Violence. It's written by a brother named Abdul Malik Mujahid.
Okay.
I can send you the link, or I can put the link on my Facebook page. Yeah, that may be the better way. Really, I just read half of it because I didn't want to prolong the reading, because the rest of it is just commentary notes. that I think are good. But, yeah.
Okay,
yeah, thank
well,
you very much for
you,
that.
Thank you.
Okay, alhamdulillah. All right, then, I'm listening to the program. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you, sir. Yeah, thank you, Latifa.
You're welcome. All right, one more. 773-449. Assalamu alaikum. State your name and where you're calling from.
Well, alaikum assalam, Sister Amir Muhammad Shahid. I just want to thank the man for touching on these two subjects of marriage and domestic violence. I think these are two pertinent subjects that need to be addressed on a regular basis so that we can stay abreast of, you know, what we're entitled to and our rights as sisters and brothers. So I'd like to hear more on these subjects in, at a later time. And I wanted to ask you, Imam, could you spell out the name of that site that you said that, or you mentioned earlier where you got the Quranic verses from?
Okay, hello. You say a site for a book?
No, you had quranicsomething.com. .com that you were reading from?
Oh, the website, yeah.
There's a website.
Yeah. It's a great. It's called Corpus, Corpus, .Quran, Quran, .com. And when you get there, it has so many options. And it takes you to the root of every single word, pretty much, that's in the Quran. Almost every word, individual word in the Quran. Not all of them. Now, some will got prepositions and suffixes on them. But a lot of words, they take you to the root of almost each and every word in the Quran.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, Sister Mir. Appreciate you. Assalamu
alaikum.
All right.
Alhamdulillah, that was it, Reverend Imam. We're going to start out, and I know you prefaced this with readings on the how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam treated his wife. So that was so good to make that a prelude to what we're talking today about domestic violence or abuse in various places, not just with couples. We're talking about abuse. And the workplace, we're going to talk a little bit about bullying in the home and just talk about it overall, inshallah. Yeah, inshallah.
Well, Latifa, yeah. Let's do this here because someone on my station, they got their hand up too, so we're going to work this together.
Okay.
Thank you. Call us for 817. Thanks for calling Works Made People. And you give us your first name? Your city and your question and comment, please. 817, you're on. Okay. We'll come back to them later on. Okay. Mr. Latifa, go ahead, please. Am I on? Oh, my goodness. Hold on.
Okay, I think you took me off.
You know what?
You brought me
on,
and that was me.
No, you know what? I said that hand up. That's your hand.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I thought I was calling. Well, sorry about that. Go ahead.
All right. You know that is all these numbers be coming from everywhere.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
All right, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammad abduhu wa rasulullah. I bear witness that there is no God but the one God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Thank you all for joining us this afternoon, IWDM, as well as American Muslim 360. We really appreciate you tuning in. Today we're going to talk a little bit about abuse. We're going to talk about it in the workplace. We're going to talk about it in home, among friends and family. Talk a little bit about shame. So we got a few things that we want to talk about. First, I wanted to talk a little bit about, and I'm not going to give a lot about it all, but I want to give enough where you can get a lot of good information. When we talk about the workplace bullying, now when we say bullying, you know bullying is a form of abuse. It ranges from isolating to verbally threatening your fellow workers. It's supposed to be an intolerable and unacceptable phenomenon, but it keeps being addressed. It keeps coming up in the workplace. And sometimes people don't look at that bullying or abuse in the workplace as such. They may say, oh, you know, I just did this or I did that. But it can take on various forms. It can be physical, emotional conduct that causes harm. It can be discrimination, the bullying again, harassment, sexual harassment or otherwise, absurd work demands, shouting, intimidation, making threats to promote the opportunities, or just their job security, humiliation, undeserved discipline, and, you know, like undermining your work that's already been completed, and just doing little underhanded things. Sometimes it's so subtle we don't see it as such. Now, so the employers, they really are responsible for creating a safe and supportive work environment. But sometimes it's not that. It's not safe. Sometimes you don't feel comfortable in your workplace. There's the abuse going on, and as the abuse is going on, there is failure to address those workplace abuse, which can lead to more of a toxic work environment. So it can have negative consequences. Now, I don't know if you all, it was in the news, it was at a HBU college where the lady, she was the director of a program, and her boss was, she happened to be African-American. He was Caucasian. And so she had gone to them. Now, this is my understanding from what I read, that she had gone to them and told them that she had some mental health issues, you know, things that she was going through or whatever the case may be. And to my knowledge, what I've read is they took advantage of that, and he was harassing her. And I don't know why that all took place, because I don't have all the pieces from what I gather, what I read, and you know how the media is sometimes. But anyway, she ended up committing suicide. And you remember that? And then they wanted her, her boss, they was calling for his resignation, say that he harassed her, that he was, you know, he was rude to her. He, you know, just, you know, things that you do underhandedly. So that's what they said that he had done. I don't know. Like I said, I don't have the whole story. It's always two sides to every story. I didn't have that, but they're still, he's still under investigation now. So that's one form of harassment, if that is the truth, that I would say, because she ended up committing suicide, but she had some issues prior to being harassed. But see, you don't know what a person is going through. So sometimes you can push them over the edge, and it seems as though she was pushed over the edge.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, like talking about discrimination, you know, treating people unfairly based on the race, ethnicity, gender, sexual orientation. That's bullying. That's a form of discrimination. Then you can harass some of the employees. They don't have to be the target. It can be indirectly. It can be indirectly to another person. So you never know. Sometimes you'll say, well, you know, I sense this. But sometimes things are going on and we're just not aware of them out front. Then you have physical abuse. Of course, we know that. I'm sorry, I was on the wrong thing. So we have harassment, and then there is other things, intimidation. They may come. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you may have a boss that may and try to intimidate you into doing something or putting you down when you come. Say you come to work, or they don't like certain things about you or whatever, so they're harassing you, they're putting you down, that type of thing. Or sometimes you may have a boss or something that screams at you, that tells you, oh, you got to do that, talking down to you and screaming to you. That is a form of bullying. That's a form of abuse when that happens.
I have a question.
Yes.
Sure.
Along the line of your thinking, they have this word called male privilege, but also we have a phrase called Christian privilege. Can a person who is not Muslim be abused by those who, I'm not saying this about good Christians, I'm saying about those who use the name of Christianity. I want to clarify that. But they were trying to use a Christian privilege over you as well. Yeah.
All right, say that again, buddy, man, because I missed something. Say that one more time.
No, I'm saying that, okay, like you come in with you be a Hindu or Muslim or whatever, but your holidays or your dress or your Muslim etiquettes are not popular, and someone else can try and use that Christian dominance or Christian privilege as the way of abusing somebody with comments, etc.
Yeah, you know, good thing that you had brought that up. You know, I was working at the school, and you know, I had been teaching, and what happened was I wear my turbans all the time. So, and I was an instructor for massage therapy, and one of the ladies, they didn't like the fact that I was wearing my wrap every day. So the lady says, she told the boss, she said, she's not supposed to be wearing that. Well, it was told to me that she would say, you were not supposed to be wearing that on your head. That's part of that rule that applies to our rule here at the school that you can't wear that. So she called me in and she was asking me, I said, well, show me in the handbook where I cannot wear my turban, my wrap or cover my hair as a Muslim. And she couldn't find that. And they tried to rest, but they didn't have a leg to stand on. So they couldn't do anything. But I was harassed because they would try to say things and undermine me with certain things and just didn't like me because I was different. And so I had a lot of harassment on that particular job because of that. But they tried to get me with my hip wrap. And they tried to tell me that I had to take it off. And I went to them. I said, okay, we'll go to EEOC if we need to. And they really harassed me, but they didn't have a leg to stand on. They will do that, especially if you're different. Because sometimes people don't like the fact that you're different. They like you to be like everybody else. And if they sense that you're different, it's kind of a threat to them almost, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of a threat to them. If they see that going on. Those are just some of the things that I wanted to talk just a little bit about the workplace and different things in the workplace, because you never know. You know, you think, oh, everything is okay, but sometimes in the workplace you have to realize that those hostile environments, they're not to be. The EOC is against that. They recommend that workplace adapt a zero tolerance policy and to suggest that employers step up or set up a workplace violence prevention program. And these systems that allow workers to report abusive activities, they should be able to report these things rather than, you know, letting it continue to go on in the workplace. You know?
Okay. Well, let me say that for EEOC, what's that for? Equal Employment
Opportunity
Commission?
Opportunity Commission. Mm-hmm. And so they said that they should set that up They recommend that they should set that up. I see I have hands up, and I'm going to get to you. I just want to get through some of the material, and then we'll, Brother Man, is that okay? And then we'll break, and then we can get to the other half, inshallah. Let's just get through. Let me get through this next part, and then we'll, and then we'll get to you.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, because I have a hand up here, too. You let me know when you're ready to take questions.
Okay, yeah, we'll do that. I'm gonna go through this next section here and write down any questions. And after I finish this, then we'll take a station identification break on this end and your end if you need to. And then we'll be back to answer questions. And then we'll go into the second half. Now,
okay.
All right, that was in the workplace. Now I just want to shed some light on the 7 most common and major types of domestic violence. And I know, I guess I've talked about this a lot, but just want to go over there. You have physical abuse, which involves, you know, hitting, bodily harming someone or injuring someone. Then you have emotional or psychological abuse. It targets a person's emotional well-being and their mental health. Constant criticism, manipulation, humiliation, isolation. That's part of the emotional and psychological abuse. And then you have verbal abuse. It targets you by saying words that belittle or tear a person down, and offensive name calling. This can have a long-lasting effect on the victim, you know, put that person down. So once you start telling somebody long enough, they will begin to believe what is going on. They'll begin to believe that this is something that's true, and they will begin to live that. Sexual abuse. If it involves a non-consensual sexual activity or coercion, they can range from unwanted sexual advances and harassment to assault and rape within an intimate relationship. Yes, there can be sexual abuse within a relationship, okay, harassment and assault. And then financial or economic abuse. By controlling a partner's access to economic resources, limiting their financial independence, and exploiting financial dependence, withholding money, preventing employment, or controlling financial decisions. Next one, stalking. That's a pattern of repeated, intrusive behaviors intended to create fear and distress. It can manifest through unwanted communication, surveillance, or following the victim both online and offline. Then you have cyber abuse. Cyber abuse is taking over someone's social media page, pretending that you're that person, pretending you want to cause harm to that person, or you just want to harm their reputation, put them down in a way by taking that control from them and taking over their social media page. So that's another one. Now, this other one here, this last one that I know this has not been one that people may be always aware of, but gaslighting. Gaslighting. What is gaslighting? That's another form of abuse. It's manipulating emotional and psychological abuse. It causes that person to question their reality, their memory, their instincts, and ultimately their sanity. Say a person will gaslight another person to obtain power and control. Okay? It occurs in intimate partner relationships. And let me tell you, gaslighting is, say for instance, someone says something, you know you saw something, and they'll make you feel like you didn't say that, or you didn't do that, or they didn't do something, and you saw what they were doing, you saw what was going on, but they will get in your head and manipulate you and make you think that what you saw wasn't true, or what you think isn't true, or you made a mistake. It's really that manipulation and mind control. Okay? So where does that term gaslight come from? It comes from a 1938 play, Gaslight, in which a husband covertly dimmed gas lamps causing his wife to question her reality and drive her toward madness so he could get control over her inheritance. That's where it came from. He would dim those lights, those gas lights. So that's where
Thank
it
you.
Came from. People who gaslight seek power and control. They may have witnessed or learned gaslighting growing up, or they may have some kind of personality disorder, okay? So these are some common signs included in gaslight. Significant self-doubt and guessing yourself, being made to feel crazy, sensitive, or wrong, trusting others' decisions more than yours, feeling confused, isolated, or depressed, apologizing or making excuses for a partner's behavior, feeling deep down that something isn't right. So it's a cognitive dissonance, or holding two beliefs at the same time that don't fit. That dissonance is, you know, you have two of them you're holding at the same time, but you know one don't fit. It's like a paradox almost, you know? So this confuses, have a lot of confusion and anxiety and discomfort, and it gets you to have a sense of powerlessness. Okay? So I'm going to stop right there, Brother Imam, because I want to go into next thing I want to go into is the 10 common causes of domestic violence, and then we'll go into domestic violence in the home, inshallah. So I'm going to stop right there.
Okay, ma'am.
And I could. Okay. All right, Brother Imam.
Now, when I'm just saying that I know you got commercial breaks, so we're going to just let it play through. Normally, we don't have commercial breaks here, but we're in partnership together. Today is Station IWDM in partnership with AM360, working on a beautiful relationship. So you go ahead and do what you got to do, and we'll be here waiting for you.
Okay, we'll take listening audience. We'll take a station identification break, and then we'll come back. I don't know if you have any hands up there, Brother Imam, but I have like about
four
hands
one.
Up here. So I'll take yours first, and we'll come back. Remember my number. I'm the 817 number, though. Okay, Brother Imam.
Okay.
All right, we'll be right back. Don't touch that dial, inshallah.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you, the one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the Bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Supreeta Hadi, host of Al-Islam and Focus Learning Lab here on AM 360, inviting you to join me Saturday evening at our new time, 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, as we continue to share inspiring and thought-provoking Islamic education. Inshallah, I will see you in the lab at our new time, 5 to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Saturday evening. Assalamu alaikum, and thank you kindly.
And welcome back. We're in conjunction with IWDM Radio, Community Radio, AM 360. Today we're talking about abuse in all forms and all shapes. You can connect with us online at am360.org or by 24-hour streaming, 701-719-4197. You can join us in the studio at 515-605-9891 or 425-292-4253. email us at info@cwsc.us or tweet us at CWSURA. That's S-H-U-R-A-A. Visit AM360 Parents Corporation, Community-Wide Sure Conference at cwsc.us. Like us on Facebook, Community-Wide Sure Conference or American Muslim 360 Sharing. You can leave a listener comment at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake this world. AM360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected. All right, we are back, Brother Imam. Tahir, you still there?
Yes, I'm still here.
All right.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, you can get your first caller, and then I'll get my callers over here, inshallah.
I sure will. Right now, we have two callers right now on station IWDM, No Worries Made People. First caller is from 856 area code. Thanks for calling, Words Made People. Can you give us your first name and your city and your question or comment, please?
Sultana Ali, New Jersey. One of the things when it comes to you smoke. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. One of the things that that I do, if I have to go on an interview, I do ask them if they have a problem with me wrapping my hair, because if they do, so I do interview also to them, because I don't need to work there if it's going to be a problem. All right, I'll go somewhere else. So I just wanted to address that. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's very wise. Not only are they interviewing you, you have rights. You have the right to interview them.
That's right.
And of course, you do it with wisdom. Alhamdulillah. So I had two more hands in addition. They went up. You want to go back and forth, or you want to do all?
I'll take my first one here. 773-449.
Okay. Yes,
assalamu alaikum. Say your name and where you call from.
Sister Latifah, I'm sorry. I thought I had muted myself out.
Okay.
Mirror. Let me try it again.
Okay. Thank you. All right. 646-245. Say your name and where you're calling from. You're on the air.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Assalamu alaikum. This is Farida calling. I was unfortunately bullied all my life, so I would like to tell you how I was able to, what it does to you, and how I was able to get out of it very quickly. Okay, so during the child, I was abused. I mean, by bullying. And so I couldn't understand why, you know, you went through all that. But I want to tell you what it does to you. It makes you feel like you don't belong on this earth. It makes you feel like you're different from everybody else. It makes you feel like they'll probably be better if I'm not here. Therefore, it also causes you to eventually, if it's bad enough and continuous and you can't stop it, feel like, you know, it's overwhelmed, then you just want to die. Okay. I have learned how to get out of that. But, I mean, I've had jobs, you know, that I was the only black person there, so I was abused because of that. 9/11 happened. I was the only Muslim. I was abused because of that. So, you know, I've had problems, and my last job, I was the only black person in my position. They did hire more black people, but I was the only one in my position, which still made me a target, okay? But what I had to do, and most of this bullying, I was shocked to find, came from adults who should know better. But you would think. But so what I would have to do, like on my job, if they bullied me bad enough to make me start even thinking like I'm less than they are, then what I would do was wait till they came out the bathroom and go in immediately. And when I realized that this person smells worse than I do, then I know, or even the same, then I know that this person is no better than I am. And what I've also had to do, that is what knocked me out, because you have to keep on remembering that you are worth something. You have to keep on remembering that they are no better than you are. And in fact, you come to realize eventually that they are doing this to you because they have a problem. So I started, as it continued later on in life, then I started being like, you know, I feel so bad for them that they have to do this. And that's why I say that the psychology department is doing the wrong thing by going to the victim and making the victim think that there's something wrong with you because you can't deal because you're all depressed. No, they need to also deal with the bully because there's something definitely wrong with the bully, worse than it is with you. And knowing that they were worse off than I was, that eliminated what they would do to me to cause it. So that is the elimination.
Yes, ma'am.
Because what causes the thought of suicide is because of the fact that they beat you down psychologically, and then you're thinking that you're lower than the low. And then you're thinking that, well, since I'm the lower than the low, well, man, they'd probably be better off without me. Well, what am I doing here then? You know, better off without me. And, it's a way of working on the psychological mind that way. So, therefore, to reverse,
yes,
got to keep anything that's going to remind you that you are here for a reason also. Okay, that's
yes,
all I want to
say. Thank you very much.
Assalamu alaikum.
You're welcome. Thank you. That was needed. I mean, anything what she said, Sister Latifah, in my opinion, anything she said was needed to be heard.
Yes. What I was saying, if we can, inshallah, let's try to keep it in 2 minutes because we have a lot to cover, and I really would like to get it all done, inshallah. So if we can keep it at 2 minutes, that would be really, really great. Well, let's strive for that, inshallah, because there's so much to be said.
Okay.
So you can go to your next person, really, ma'am.
Yes. Okay, then I have three more. I got four. Wow. Okay. People calling in. This is a good topic. This number here, I know it very well, 317. You're on Word Space. People, can you give us your first name and city, please?
First name is Carolyn. Did you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yeah, very well.
Carolyn,
you hear me?
Indianapolis. You're speaking of abuse and how one's treated. But sometimes, of course, you know, it's a learned behavior. Isn't that corrected? Especially when you have young folks who are expressing their anger. I've seen expression of little boys and girls expressing disrespect. So that, in my opinion, goes up to be an abuse towards the person because they have not learned how to treat other people. And that's a problem because they think they can get away with it, as young as 4 or 5 years old. They don't get what they want. They throw a tantrum. You know, they speak really to their parents. So it's up to the parents to control that behavior because it grows up to be someone who's going to be abusive. And that's all what I did in elementary school and middle school. When a boy or a girl like the other spouse, they play this hitting game. And this hitting game is a little bit abusive because, of course, the boy would hit a lot harder. And, we say, let's not but to show that somebody likes you because you they hit you and run or they push you into the desk is that, you know that's not good. So therefore, I stayed away from those kind of people because I wasn't taking it. So they grew up to be abusive people, and also on the job. There's no job that I had that I couldn't feel like I couldn't walk away from. No matter how poor or broke I was. Because one time I was working and this person, he was a security, you know, much older, and wanted, you know, to put a hand where you shouldn't be putting it. And I said, no, you're not going to do that. So one time he did it again, and he was dressed in his uniform, and he had just gotten it out of the cleaners. He had a cup of coffee in his hand. He went to reach over again, and I smacked that coffee right on him. And he was upset. I said, I told you not to touch me no more. And that was the end of that. Sometimes, you know, I've always been a person standing up for myself. And, you know, so, allow my family members to put that in me, that you don't have to take nothing from nobody. But then again, you don't have to be a bully either, when shoes on other people.
Yes, ma'am.
You have compassion. So that's my. So you can stand up for yourself. No job is worth your life. Poor and broke. Well, I've been poor and broke. So I'm like.
It's just a lot of people. I want to ask you a question.
All right.
You know, it's a question based upon that. Yeah, I'm going to ask you a question based upon what Kelly just said. In your studies, are there any indications a parent can look for in their own child that shows, I guess, both ways that my child may be getting bullied or my child may be a bully?
Well, I think it's a learned behavior. We're going to talk about bullying in the home and where it starts from. We're going to talk about that, inshallah, and in this segment as well. So we'll get to that. We're going to get to that shortly, inshallah. All right. Yeah, that's a good question. Let's go to our next caller, 347-751. State your name and where you're calling from, Sister Mahasan. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you for opening me. Thank you for opening your mind. There is a noise in the background, so I'm not sure if there's any control that we have over that, but sometimes it creates difficulty in hearing the beautiful contributions that are shared on the program. Also, if perhaps Imam Shahir, you have a very soft voice. So I just encourage you to bring the mic closer because I really want to hear what you have to say. Your observations are very deep in our consciousness.
Yeah, I've had a soft voice since I was 1 year old, so I do my best.
Okay. So it's not uncommon for me give you that observation. It's a very, very calming voice, but sometimes it robs us of your very intricate comments, and we don't want to miss a word you and Sister Latifa have to say. I just had a couple of questions about some of the comments that were made and examples, and they stem from two experiences that I had. One yesterday, usually one of the things that's so assaultive about abuse is it's unexpected. It seems to come out of nowhere. So the normal protections that people have of how they kind of have a sense of guarding themselves, there's no ability to guard against abuse until it's inflicted. And Sister Latifa, I'm wondering if there's any deepening concept that you can share with us to the consciousness level we can establish in the different environments that we go into that will give us some protection against the unexpected assault of bullying, like just observing if you go into a situation and there's a lot of conflict and chaos, depending on the people involved in inflicting it, there's a heightened possibility for abuse to occur and it not be anything related to the person who gets inflicted with the abuse. They're triggering it. And then the last one is, last comment that I want to make and ask a question. I conduct, many of you know, I conduct radio programs. Oftentimes, I'm a host. And I really love the interaction of people who come on the line, right? And I express that affection in the way that I talk with them and invite them forward to make contributions. And I have a habit from growing up in my family with my mother and father using terms of endearment to attract, to just make us comfortable as children. Because sometimes you have to admonish your children. They may break the rules or whatnot, but you admonish them in a way that they are encouraged to correct their own behavior. So I have a habit of using terms of endearment to the callers and those who are listening. And it's a genuine term. And I will often use the appellate dear, dear so-and-so, if I know their name, or appreciate them in a manner that's really conductive. So yesterday I got a call. Now I'm understanding where it may fit in the bullying category. I use the term dear and have known her and her husband. And I was appreciating the contribution he was making on our program. She called me afterwards and attacked me, verbally attacked me, because she perceived that I was using the term dear as an attraction toward her husband. I was shocked. And first, I couldn't really understand what she was so upset about. So throughout the conversation, she had tried to repeatedly condemn me and accuse me of violating whatever she thought was violated in the kindness and the appreciation of her husband's contact. So it keeps you off guard, like you were talking about gaslighting and the other things. But I think it has a lot to do with the phobia, the level of intolerance, and really the trauma of abuse that the abusers have suffered. I'll stop right there.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much. What I gathered from what you were saying, just to kind of put it into a nutshell, sometimes we have to, before we react to the bullying, if I can reflect on what is really causing that person to be so emotional or to be so abusive toward me, because oftentimes there's something else in the background that's really working. And if we're not careful, we can add fuel to the fire when we don't have to. Then we can maybe become a help to them as well. Sister Latifa, I have a few callers here.
Let me just make another quick comment, Brother Ma'am. Sometimes those things that happen like that can be triggers. And it might have been triggered from something else that happened. It may not even been directed toward her. It was indirect because of certain triggers that might have happened before in her life. And that's why she got so upset about that, is because there was something else going on. It was not a direct correlation with what was going on with her and the sister. It was something that happened before, and it triggered.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a trigger.
Yes, ma'am.
So anyway. I wanted to say that. So you can get the next caller.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that caller from 301. You have called the Words Made People. We are in conjunction today with AM 360. You get a 2-for-1 deal. call from 301. Give us your first name and your city, please, and your question and comment.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Debbie from Silver Spring, Maryland. I just wanted to say that many years ago, I was in an abusive relationship, both physically and emotionally, and I didn't understand mm-hmm. it or understand why I was with this man. And there's a book out, which Mahasa knows about, called Men Who Hate Women and the Women Who Love Them, and it totally explains what goes on and tells you how to get out of relationships like this and never to enter them again. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Sister Latifa, a question that what she was saying.
Mm-hmm.
Can someone sometimes become trapped or feel trapped in an abusive relationship?
Absolutely.
And if
absolutely.
So, mm-hmm. And so how do they deal with that? I know that's not one solution to every one situation, but what are some of the things that can be done? Mr. Debbie mentioned that she was in a situation, but I'm wondering how many people are trapped or feel trapped.
Yeah, that is something. You know, why do people stay? That's some of that, why do people stay? There's a variety of reasons why people stay. Really quickly, you have people that stay because of financial reasons. There's some people who stay because they feel hopeless. There's sometimes people mm-hmm. stay because of embarrassment. And sometimes it's a certain way of life that they're used to that they don't want to give up. So sometimes people, they feel hopeless or helpless when they're in these kind of relationships. They feel like, okay, nobody else wants me. I might as well go and stay. But, it's all from within. It's all about you as an individual saying, okay, what can I do to start myself on the journey? There may be a process. Everybody can't lead like 1, 2, 3. So it may be a process of leading. You may have to try to, I have a thing that I have that I talk about of being ready. You have to first admit that you're in an abusive relationship. Then you have to, after you admit, you have to decide, okay, I don't want this anymore. I don't want to be a victim anymore. Then, then you start trying to get yourself out of it by, if you can't go to counseling because there may be something that person may not want you to do, or they may be against that. So what you may need to do is start saving up different funds and stuff like that, trying to plan your getaway. Have a bag packed. Start saving money that the abuser didn't know anything about. Have a phone somewhere where nobody knows where that phone is. Have somebody on speed dial. Call the 1-800 number. There's a variety of things that you can start putting in place. It may not be overnight, but it may be a process. A process, mm-hmm. especially if it's someone that's very violent. So it has to be strategic. Some people can get up and leave. Some people can't. And I know it's not that easy to do things like that. But there's a way that you can start, it's a process, and you can start doing it step by step.
You mentioned the 800 number. Do you by chance know that number? Can you share that with us?
Yes, I'll be getting that out as well. I have the 1-800 number that I'll be getting out and make sure everyone gets that before we get off the line, inshallah.
May I say one more thing? What I liked about this book was it really describes how the men are this way and what they do and what they're trying to accomplish. And once you have that understanding and see it, you can get out of the relationship, because that's what happened to me. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum
assalam.
Thank you, Sister Debbie. It's good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you.
Alhamdulillah. Yeah, so...
Alhamdulillah.
Okay, you
want to
say something else,
okay. Brother Man? No, I'm going to ask you if you can get a number out more than once. Because some people may come on later and leave early.
Yes, I will. All right, I can get that out and then get my
book
here.
And also, I have one more caller.
And then I also have one more.
Okay, well, we can take your caller first.
Okay, take my caller first? Okay. All right, you said take my caller first? Okay. 727-408. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Bilal.
Wa alaikum assalam, alhamdulillah. This is Bilal from Hustle, Florida. Yeah, Latifah, this is a poem that I'm writing from your book, Hidden Secret, Making Positive Choices. And it's the one that dealing with the cycle of abuse and its effect. And it's the one, stage one, tension building. I did a point from that. So I'd like to share that.
Sure.
I'm trying to save my marriage. I'm so afraid that I might say the wrong things. Just what negative words that will bring. Trying not to upset you. Just what am I to do? Not feeling well, walking on eggshells. Trying not to start an argument. You're my spouse and best friend. We need peace in our home. While we weep, our religion should keep us strong. Living right, fighting against wrong. Talking down to me. I don't want to get angry. Calling me demeaning names, making fun of me. Trying to chip away at my self-worth. We should be struggling to keep God first. I have God consciousness. I won't feel helpless. I won't feel this relationship. I won't fail. This relationship is a serious test. All I know is I'm doing my best. The prophet said we shouldn't get angry or upset. We know the truth. Let's do what we were created to do. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you. I see the words. I feel. Alhamdulillah. Thank you, Brother Bilal. We're all one big family.
Thank you for your book. So that basically what I was looking at doing with the book. But like I said, call me up and talk to me because I know this is business, you know.
Definitely.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate you.
I'm going to go. Okay.
All right. Let me give you, Brother Ma'am, before you answer that one, let me give you this number right now that I could give it later. 1-800-799-7233. Again, 1-800-799-7233. And I'll be giving it out again as we get.
And what's the name of that number? What's the name?
This is abuse hotline. And they'll give you resources in your own city. This is all over the world. They'll give you resources. You know, they'll direct you to resources, whatever city that you're in. Inshallah.
Okay, thank you. 1-800-799-7233. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. And I have one more caller here. Sister Sultana Ali, you have a question or comment for us? Sister Sultana, go ahead, please.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, you hit your hand up still. You can just press one on your phone and then go out of queue. Okay.
Yes, that's the same thing. I'm going to finish up. Anyone that's on the line, I have all these hands up. Press one to get out of the queue if you are finished speaking so that I'll know that you do not have another question. Press one to get out of the queue. Thank you. All right. Now, let's go over. I want to go over the 10 common causes for domestic violence in relationships. There are 10 causes that I want to talk about really quickly. Mm-hmm. Understanding the underlying causes is crucial for addressing and preventing incidents of domestic abuse. Let's explore like 10 common factors that contribute to domestic violence within relationships. Mental problems or mental issues. Women who are victims of severe physical abuse are likely to suffer
from mental, some kind of mental issues. Anxiety, depression, alcoholism, drug dependency, antisocial personality disorder, and schizophrenia. It is not exactly clear if women that are abused tend to be abused or if abused women develop mental illness. So they don't know if people that have mental issues, they go into abusive relationships or if abused women develop these mental issues. These are two unfortunate situations that occur together. It leads to one of the major factors that contribute to domestic abuse. Okay? That's one of them. The second one, the second is poverty and unemployment. People that are in dire financial strands are often more likely to get involved in domestic violence. Why? Because they may want someone, that person may come along and see they need something and they're homeless or they need some help and they may venture into domestic violence, don't know if this person is an abuser or not, but they may venture into that because they're concerned about themselves and their children's well-being. Say poverty lacks the means to escape the situation. So if you get involved with someone and you have these children, and you have a lot of children, and so you're like, wow, I'm being abused, but I can't afford to leave. So they stay in these abusive relationships. They may not have access to a legal representation, or they may not be able to afford housing on their own.
Mm-hmm.
So, and sometimes abusers take steps to keep their victim in poverty. They'll take everything. You know, you want to leave? I'm taking everything. So they have ways of making a person stay in poverty.
Mm-hmm.
They'll
manipulation.
Sabotage different things. Pardon me?
Manipulation.
Say something, Brother Matt.
No, I guess saying manipulation, that's all.
Yes, yes, definitely, definitely. Mm-hmm. Education is number three. Education makes a huge difference in the rates of causes of family violence. Being educated, like we're doing here, this is an area here that we can say the lack of education. Because if they don't have education, when I was growing up, I didn't have education on domestic abuse. I didn't know anything about it. I stumbled into domestic violence. I didn't know anything about domestic violence. So having that education, that helps. And if you have a lack of education, you're more likely, I'm not saying that you'll see yourself in abuse, but if you don't have the wherewithal, you don't know, you don't have any signs, you don't know what the red flags are like, you don't know any of that. So therefore, you may venture more so into abusive relationships. Young parents.
I have a question.
Parents.
I have a question.
Yes.
I have a question. I want to get for clarification. You were saying lack of education. And not so much, a person could have a master's degree or a PhD in whatever field, but they lack an education on domestic abuse. Are you saying
lack of education? It could go either way, Brother Nam.
Okay.
Sometimes you have people that do have a higher education and they know very little about domestic abuse, and they'll find themselves in a domestic violence relationship. And then you have people, women that are more educated, are likely to see themselves as equals. And they may feel like I have the wherewithal to get out of this because I am educated. So it can go both ways.
Gotcha.
That's what I'm saying.
Gotcha.
I mean, that's what I'm saying now.
Thank you.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for
yes,
bringing
ma'am.
That up because that clarified that. Yes. Okay, well, young parents.
Let me get here quickly. Also, there may be someone who don't have a high school diploma, but they are well educated on domestic abuse and they ain't going for it. So,
yes, there you go. So it can go either way. You're right.
Yes, ma'am.
So, and young parents, parenting at a young age.
Number four.
Okay. Pardon me? That's number four, young parenting.
Okay.
So if you have children at a young age, it can lead to what? You know, you don't have the skills. You don't have a lot of the skills because you might have children at a young age, so maybe you didn't finish school. You don't have the skills. So what you are doing is it makes you more, you're angry, you're frustrated, you're depressed. Young parents are more likely to be single, struggling economically, or have lower educational achievement. So this can be a factor that they may hook up with someone because they may be in need of that, and this person may turn out to be an abuser. Or sometimes you get people that, some people that are abusers may feel as though, wow, you know, they can sense people. They can sense when a woman is kind of in need. So then they'll prey on that sometimes. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying all men are abusers and women are. Some women are abusers. So don't get it wrong, because you can have, but the majority of abusers are men. But there are men that are victims of abuse as well. So I'm just saying that this can happen to young parents, the young ladies that are parents at an early age, they're struggling, and sometimes they need someone to help them, and they may stumble upon someone that is looking for somebody to take care of so they can control and abuse that person. You know? Number five, relationship retention behavior. Retention and complex behaviors are one of the prime causes of gender-based violence in modern society. Retention and complex behavior. So one of the causes of domestic violence in relationships is the thought process that violence can help save marriage. Partners, many of them resort to domestic violence in marriage because they think this is the only way to retain their partner. Well, I can keep them here. I don't know how, but they may think that they can keep them there by towering over them and by, you know, controlling them. Any threat to the relationship motivates the spouse to devise that such retention strategy. Such behaviors, although wrong, are meant to explicitly or implicitly aim at maintaining the bond, whatever way they can get to maintain that bond. So this kind of treatment, though, is intimidation or verbal abuse, which contributes to domestic violence. So that's going to lead to that separation of divorce or separation or divorce, either one. But they think that they need to have that to keep them by doing certain things, the abuser, but then it drives them away in the long run. Number six, historical factors. Okay? Historical factors. Freedom for women is still a matter of debate and is still fought for. So the change of your mindset is bound to take time. Society was male dominant in the early times. So even if the situation of that male dominance doesn't exist in all pockets of our society, it is not entirely possible to eradicate one of the biggest causes of domestic violence in relationships all at once. So, you know, back in, I did a research paper one time about the male dominance in the society back in the 18, I can't remember exactly what era that was, but women were looked at as part of, up under a man's foot, really, and it was the men of the church, believe it or not. And so it took us, what, 19 to 1920 to even be able to, for women to vote. So I'm
white
saying
women.
That white women, that's what I was getting ready to say, because we, it took us a longer time. I'm sorry. I was getting ready to come back and say, you're right, white women to vote
right.
in 1920. And so, and then, you know, so this thing of male dominance has been so prevalent in the air. Of course, we've come a long way, but it's still there. You know, it takes time to get over that. Yes.
Well, now, you know, it's not very loud in society, but there's conversation that they are painting Dr. King, Malcolm X, and others as being male chauvinists. Because the thinking at that time, as you mentioned already, that the freedom for women is kind of, in my words, is still evolving. It's still making this self known, the freedom for women. And so when they look back on the era of Dr. King and his great days and Malcolm X, and many other great African-American men, they still treated women according to the dominant treatment of women. Yes, you know, go give me some coffee. You know, so just to keep that in mind, in the context of a timeline too, we have to see how things have and appreciate, hopefully, how things are evolving more and more each day.
Mm-hmm.
But you will hear
That's
that
right.
you will hear
That's
that
right.
conversation. Yes. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, you're number six. Number seven now.
That was six. Number seven now is cultural factors. You know, cultural differences can be one of the most common causes of domestic violence in relationships.
Mm.
What may seem appropriate for one culture could be looked down upon on another.
Mm-hmm.
So, and this can create one of the significant causes of family violence.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't adopt a cultural difference with conscious approach, this can lead to domestic violence. Because some cultures, they may be more prone to male dominance than another culture. And, you know, and so you have to go, especially if you're marrying someone in a different culture, you have to learn that culture. You can't assume anything. You have to learn the cultural factors in that particular potential husband or wife culture, how to raise their children, which culture to follow. A lot comes into the scene if couples don't share cultural compatibility and or disrespect each other's choices. So that's a problem, and that can cause some of that. Now, these 10 things are what? These are the 10 ways that these are how people get into domestic abuse. These are the reasons, they say the causes that people may get into domestic violence. Okay.
I have a comment on that. And just bear with me on it because I have some little side notes here. And assuming that the majority of our listeners are Muslim, I'm assuming most of our listeners are Muslim. I'll say it that way. When we came into Islam, many of us in our teenage, early adulthood, and raised in American society, predominantly Judeo-Christian American society, and we have certain concepts about love, marriage, relationships, just because of the environment we're in. And as we became Muslim and learned about Islam, how to make prayer, how to fast, etc., and all that, right? We learned about Tawheed and Taqwa, sometimes it was hard to differentiate when someone was giving us religion versus giving us their culture. And mm-hmm. we have heard too many reports without, and I'm sure everyone can relate to what I'm saying, to where marriages were influenced by cultural, not Islamic influences, but from overseas cultural thinking. And it's sad to say, I'm not trying to point the finger, I'm just trying to keep us out of trouble in our marriages. Sometimes that we adopted, when we came into Islam, we adopted also an overseas thinking of how to treat women, which is oftentimes mm-hmm. not very good. We have heard of bad situations. We want to have an open conversation, so I'm mentioning this. They believe in female mutilation of sexual organs. They believe in, some of them believe in what they call quote-unquote honor killings because of that cultural thing. So if we're not careful, then we will begin to hear conversations about women that is not in keeping with the uswa of the prophet. The uswa means his character.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's the part in the Quran where chapter 4, verse, I think it's 4th and 34, I believe it is, where the phrase is used, beat her lightly. Now, we're new to Islam, and we're hearing some old school overseas thinking on the verse of the Quran, and we failed, some of us did, to say, well, don't look at what the overseas people said. Don't go by my old school thinking before Islam. Let me go and look at the Prophet Muhammad, the Prophet, peace be upon him. Did he do any of these things? And if he did, how and when? And I just wanted just to bring up what that she mentioned about cultural factors. And just wanted to just say that if we look at the example of Muhammad, even though the Quran says beat her lightly, that has a lot of interpretations to it. Maybe we can get into that later on. But for the narrow-minded, hardcore thinker, they're going to say, oh, the Quran says I can beat my wife. It does not say that. the word is there, you know, like it says, yubuhuna, which says hit her lightly. But when you look at the person who was the model for the Quran, he didn't do it. So it must have another meaning. But we can get into that later on into the conversation, I hope, because that's very important because it's a real issue. And we want to deal with real issues today. But the cultural factors are not always Islamic. Sometimes they're definitely un-Islamic. So I just wanted just to get that in, please. And thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. Are you thank you. I like that. Yeah. So the number 8 was self-defense. Now, remember, these are reasons why people may get into or may stumble onto domestic abuse. Self-defense. You have many spouses may resort to violence to avoid any outbreak from their partner or act in response to their partner's abuse. So if one person is using any form of violence, another can mirror the same. On the other hand, the other partner can also take steps to introduce domestic violence if they feel a profound sense of relationship control from their partner. So, you know, you may get in somebody's face or you may say, well, you're doing this, and then it's like, oh, yeah, you know, and they, you know, may push them away or whatever the case may be. They may be just defending themselves. But if the one spouse does something to the other spouse and they don't act like it doesn't bother them or they don't do anything, they may keep doing it because they're like, okay, I started this. She didn't say nothing. No, he didn't say nothing. Let me keep on. So then they'll make that a habit because, you know, stuff becomes a habit. Or it may be that one is in the other one's face and they're like, okay, and then they're fighting because they're both in each other's face. So that's how something may get started as well as a form of self-defense. And then it becomes the order of the day, what they're doing on a consistent basis sometimes. Okay? So number 9 is alcoholism.
the use of alcohol and drugs can lead to occurrences and be one of the causes of violence against men and women. Excessive drinking and drugs. You may get, you know, drunk, you come home, you start something, you're all intoxicated, and that's when the rumble starts with the domestic abuse. That's what I grew up in. So I know that, you know, I grew up in that, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. You know, my dad was a good man, but when he got drunk on Fridays, and here he comes with the domestic violence on the weekend. So I can attest to that. That's how it started in our home. All right. Number 10, suspicion of infidelity. If a partner feels that another is not preserving the sanctity of marriage and is cheating on him or her, they might think of violence as a solution. Well, I'm going to jump on him or her, you know, or I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that because I believe this is a suspicion of infidelity. It can make the partner bitter and leads to opportunity-based crime and violence. Following them, doing things, suspicion, it may not even be true, but, you know, we know in Islam, suspicion in some cases is a sin. And we have to bear witness before we accuse someone of something, you know. We have to have that, you know, the four times. We have to say this person did this. So we make it where it's something that, that isn't just go around doing this. There's consequences for that. So we have to really make sure that we know what's happening before we're doing anything like that. And we know, gaslighting. And so, you know, part of that suspicion, and we talked a little bit about that gaslighting that can come in there too. You know, we know that sometimes a person can make you think you're doing something when you're not doing something, and that manipulation, that can be some of that as well. Okay. All right. I'm going to take a station identification break. We only have maybe about 10 minutes or so. We may go a little bit over. I want to go into this bullying in the home. That's one last thing I want to cover today. I know I want to cover it all, but
probably. Well, let me do this, too, because on Station IWDN, we have a three-hour block. As you can stay, we can go up until 4 o'clock a week. So let me give this phone number for my radio station.
We can go up until – we can do at least another half hour if people are on. We can do – we'll get a little grace time. So we should get about 30 minutes grace time. But well, at least it's about 10 minutes before the hour. So we can go until like about 20 after. So another half hour. And I think I should be able to finish up, inshallah, another half
hour. But by chance, if you cannot finish up, then we got time.
We'll get that number, and then we'll go on over there.
let me give it now, too. Yeah, well, I'm going to give the number real fast. I'll give it twice. The number is if you're on AM360 and the time run out, you can call this number, 714-816-4673. I repeat, 714-816-4673. And I do have one caller. You want me to take my caller first, or you want me to do your station break?
Yeah, you can take
it. Okay, caller from 7... Okay, caller from 708. Thank you for calling Works Made People in partnership with AM360. Can you give us your first name and your city, please? 708.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
This is Sister Manira from Melbourne, Florida. Yes. Alhamdulillah, I'm well. I pray that everyone is well. And greetings to the radio audience. And very, very important topic that is being discussed and covered today. And I just wanted to share one thing. I'm not sure whether it's been talked about or not, because I was in and out of the program. But earlier when you asked why do they stay in relationships. And it's very important to recognize when a person is being isolated. Abusers often isolate the people that they are abusing away from family and friends, mother and father even, a systematic isolation where they are not a part of community outside of that relationship. So if you recognize these patterns, say you have adult daughters or even adult sons where there's this systematic isolation, pushing family away, you know, those are red flags. And do your best not to let that happen. Even if you have to go meet your son or daughter at lunch on their job, stay in their lives so that they are not isolated away from the family. Because, you know, we community life is very vital, and we understand the importance of community life in our religion. So if a person is trying to isolate you from community, from those that you love, is not a good sign at all. Okay? So, and when someone has been so isolated and they become so reliant on this person, that's one reason it's hard to leave the relationship. And because they're lost in that relationship and feel that they are without any type of outside support. So one thing that saves us in Al-Islam is we rely on Allah. Reliance on Allah is first and foremost. Okay, and no one should ever be able to isolate you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then isolation from those, your parents. When someone wants to isolate you from your parents, a huge red flag, huge red flag. You know, so be careful of that. And if you see this happening in any of your adult children's lives, don't turn away. Well, like it said, if it looks like a duck, it quacks like a duck, it walks like a duck, it's a duck. Isolation is unhealthy, and it leads down this path of control. So I just wanted to make sure that we recognize those systems of isolation in play.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Very well said. Sister Latifah, any comments on that, please?
Thank you so much, Amira. Yes, I mean, she's on point with that, definitely. Yeah, that is definitely on point with that one. Alhamdulillah. Thank you for sharing that.
Alhamdulillah. Okay. Okay, you want to do your commercial break?
We're going to take a short station of identification break, and we'll come back. It should be, I'm going to make it short, but we'll be right back, maybe right under a minute, inshallah. I'm touching that dial. We'll be right back.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM360. Join your host, Munira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
All right, welcome back to the Words Make People and conjunction with IWDM, Imam Iman Sahir is on this afternoon. We're here on AM 360. I am your host, Latifa A. Hameen. And then now we want to go, I want to shift a little bit. We're going to go into bullying. We're going to kind of end this. We should be able to end this within about, I'd say about 20 minutes or so, inshallah. We're going to open up for questioning. I have someone, I don't know if these are questions. I'm going to get to them, Brother Imam, and see what's happening. 773-449. Sister Mira, were you able to get off, or did you have another comment or question?
No, you know what? I don't know why it won't take me off the queue, because I've been pressed one several times. But anything since I'm on, I just want to say this is phenomenal. These are the type of topics that need to be ongoing conversations. If we're going to have a healthy community, these issues need to be addressed. You know, a lot of times we say that we are Muslims, so we are invincible to some of these things. No, we're not. No, we're not. These conversations must be had on a regular basis so that we can become that sacred model Muslim community. But I'll press one again, and thank you. Now, I'm really enjoying
thank you, Sister Mira. I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know I had cut her off. 347751. Sister Mahatson, did you have a question or comment? Sister Mahatson. Oh, maybe she's not on. You're on mute? Okay. Maybe she's not on. Okay, Sister Mahatson, press one to get out and get back in if you have a question or comment, please. All right. Let us go on. I want to just, Brother Imam, I want to just say a little bit about shame. Shame is a private feeling of worthlessness. There's a difference between being guilty or feeling shame. Guilty is an external feeling of something being done. Say, for instance, you do something, you said, I really feel bad that I didn't make it to her party or whatever. Or I really feel bad that I did this or I did that. Okay, so that's external. But when we start talking about internal is when you say, I am a bad person. I am no good. Mm-hmm. I am ugly. I am this. That's when you have shame, a feeling of worthlessness within your own self. The first one, guilt is external. When we have shame, it's internal, feeling of worthlessness. Okay?
Yes,
shame,
ma'am.
And there are four ways that shame can play a part in abuse. Denial, denying.
90 seconds.
There go mine again. I'm sorry. Denial. one of them is denial. One of them is anger, depression, and negative self-talk. These are how they play a part in abuse. Okay? Because if you're in abuse, you're in an abusive relationship. Okay? Say you want to play denial. You deny that anything is wrong. You hide it from yourself. You hide it from your friends. You don't let anyone know anything about what's going on. Then you have anger. Becoming angry for no reason, or being angry. You're in a situation just being angry. You don't get along with people. You're easily upset, and you're always defensive. That's another thing, because all of that plays a part in being in an abusive relationship. Depression. You are feeling of depression, down, hopelessness, suicide, those type of things. Negative self-talk. Somebody tells you
seconds.
You're not this and you're not that. If a person tells you you're no good, you're not this, then after a while, you begin to believe what that person is saying. So that's a problem. when you start believing in it. So it makes you, you start developing those same thoughts because it's like a recorder in your mind that's playing over and over again. And you begin to buy into that and really believe it. And it becomes part of who you are with that shame. Okay? Just want to throw that shame in there before I got to bullying. Bullying, it starts in the home, believe it or not. Now, some people say, oh, you know, I don't do this, I don't do that. But sometimes we're not aware that we're causing some of those issues. It starts with the parents.
Mm-hmm.
Almost all domestic violence constitutes bullying since it involves what we call a systematic abuse of power, which relies on the aggressors and targets unequal access to power. That's what bullying does. The aggressor is an aggressive person. And the power is unequal. Anytime we talk about abuse, when we gave that definition of abuse, it's an unequal share of power. And it's a control mechanism. And as we talked, when we talked on the second Sunday, we talked about control. There's a control. There's two forms of control. Control where you tower over a person and control where you manage something with a, you know, like your children. You may have control over what they're doing. You're managing them. But control,
I have a question,
when you just take over something, that's another form of control. Yes, sir.
You mentioned a point that bullying starts in the home. Is it possible for a child to be in a home where there's no bullying, but when they get to school, kindergarten, first grade, they, for the first time, experience bullying? But for that person, that's a victim.
You know, there's always exception to the rule, really, man. Always
okay.
Exception to the rule. So you can okay. have that because nothing is ever 100%. But they're saying the majority of the time that bullying starts in the home.
Yes,
research
ma'am.
Shows that parents, the research shows that parents with bullying behavior are most likely to raise bully kids. Parents that are overbearing, controlling, aggressive at home is likely to instill this in their child. Because parents are the first people who have a primary influence on their child. Children, all through their lives, you know, when they're the formative years, they spend most of their time under the heavy influence of their parents.
Mm-hmm.
So they consciously or unconsciously pick up the behavior patterns from their parents. So, you know, when you're watching TV, say you call a news anchor, oh, he's fat. He looked like this. Chances are that your child is going to call someone fat at school, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be
mm-hmm.
careful because you may just say something and your child is picking all of that up from you, just saying that one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Few parents aim to instill the bad habits. They don't try to instill bad habits in their children, not intentionally, but inadvertently they teach their kids to bully. Students
gotcha.
Pick up on how their parents talk about other people, and they
mm-hmm.
treat each other in that same behavioral pattern. Okay? So you never think,
no.
oh, I so-and-so. Okay. Go on and say something, man.
No. Just real quickly, what you're saying reminds us of the verse of the Quran that Allah made us from sounding clay. And clay is soft,
mm-hmm.
and clay is impressionable. And if you put an indentation in that clay, take it out of shape, when it clay hardens, the indentation is going to be there. But it says sounding clay.
Mm-hmm.
So the clay will repeat the sound that it heard. And so as you say, if the parent is negative in the household, criticizing someone on TV, being fat or a certain race or whatever, that child,
mm-hmm.
when they get Now, but they're going to be like sounding clay. They're going to repeat back.
There you go. There you go.
To learn in home environment. Yes, ma'am.
So even parents who bully their children tend to install these bad habits in their teens. So if a kid or a child hears their father demanding things to be done for him and mom is acting like a personal assistant to the dad, odds are that the child is going to expect the same behavior from others. And if others fail to satisfy him, he is likely to get violent and aggressive. Children tend to repeat behaviors just because they have been modeled to them.
Yes,
okay?
Okay.
Now, another way parents can instill these habits of bullying is to encourage the sense of entitlement in the children and the kids who excel at academic or athletics. So you can also instill that in that because you may, you know, that sense of entitlement. So if you have a child that excels in academics or athletes or athletics, and then you're like, oh, you this, you know, so it really kind of really just gearing them up to be encouraging them to be more bully-like. You're not doing it purposely, but it is instilling something in them.
You know, and something else along with that, the other child or children in the house who are not excelling in grades or athlete, they are seeing the preferential treatment by the parents for the one who is excelling with good grades, and they feel less than, you know. Yeah, and when you get done, I do have a caller that's on hold too. So,
okay,
go ahead.
All right, let me just get finished. Okay, so effects of family bullying. All right, bullying, much like traditional bullying or cyberbullying, experiencing family bullying can have a lasting impact. So parents who are bullied have bullied experienced a number of physical and mental consequences. That bullying that they have is passed on to the child. 71% of family bullying target reported struggling with stress. 70% indicated that depression and anxiety were concerned. 55% reported a loss in confidence. Other effects of adult bullying included sleep loss, headaches, muscle tension, and pain. Nearly 20% of those targeted by family bullies said that they had a mental breakdown because of the bullying. 17% indicated that they could not function from day to day. Now, the emotional strain by adult bullying could even lead to gastrointestinal changes, elevated blood pressure, cardiovascular issues. Another disturbing finding is 43% of those surveyed said that bullying among adults is becoming more accepted. More accepted. Mm. Isn't that something?
Yes,
adult bullying tactics are more subtle, manipulative, and controlling than those children use. Bullying tends to happen more slowly over time through small actions and words. So, you know, recognizing the signs of bullying involves looking at how your interaction with other people make you feel. If you feel hurt, confused, frustrated, misunderstood, anxious, worthless, or like you're walking on eggshells anytime you interact with this person, chances are high that you're being bullied. Y'all didn't hear me, did you? If you involve having these kind of feelings, once you're talking to somebody, or once you finish talking to somebody, that could be a form of bullying. Hurt, confused, frustrated, misunderstood. Not saying it is, but it can be.
Mm-hmm.
A family member who is bullying you may have unrealistic expectations or make unrealistic demands. blame you when things go wrong, invalidate your thoughts and feelings, create chaos in your life by starting arguments, nitpicking, use emotional blackmail, act superior or condescending in an attempt to one-up you, make jokes at your expense, cut down or exaggerate your weaknesses, accuse you of being selfish, needy, and not committed to the family, give you the silence treatment or attempt to give other family members to turn against you. If these things are happening in your family, it's normal to feel that your power is being diminished. You also may feel like your emotional or mental health is suffering due to bullying. So all of these things, you know, this can be a form of bullying. So what do we have to do? You know, sometimes, you know, we have to be able to respond in a way that you can, number one, assert yourself. You have to learn how to stand up for yourself. Be assertive means that you are honest about how you feel. You use the I statement. You don't want to be aggressive because aggression and aggression equals aggression. I don't want somebody's aggressive to me and I'm aggressive to them. We're not solving any problem. What you have to do as you stand up for yourself, when you do this, I feel hurt. I feel disrespected because you're putting it back on yourself. And so you have a question. I have a statement. Yes.
You may be answering the question of how do a parent identify or teach? You don't have to be directly, but how can it be incorporated in the daily operation of the household to prevent a child from being bullied and also to prevent them from being the aggressor? How can a parent do that? No one now, I had two callers now. Well, anyway. How can a parent identify that their child, they're going down the wrong road? Because sometimes some parents will toughen the child up because they can sense a softness in their child. Or how can they bring a child down a notch because they see that they're being the aggressor or the tendency to be aggressive?
Well, you know, that's like being a bully when you're being bullied. Or when you are the bully. I think I was giving things about when you're being the bully. But when you're being bullied, but when you are the bully, then that's going to take some other things that are going to happen. As a bully, you're going to have to, I think, now, I haven't done a whole lot on that, but
yes.
Looking at being a bully.
What do the parents do?
You're going to have to reverse that kind of thought pattern. And I think that takes some maybe going to talk to someone, maybe identifying. The first thing is identifying you have a problem. I always know that all the time, no matter what it is, alcoholism, abuse, or whatever, you admit that there's a problem. And once you admit that there's a problem, then you make the decision that you don't want to do that any longer. And then I think you need to go talk to someone. You know, I'm going
if a parent see the child has a tendency, my child has a tendency to be a bully, can the parent, you know, just teach about what bullying is and ask that child, well, they're a bully. You know, I'm trying to, because you mentioned that it begins in the home. But if a parent can become sensitive to one of the two, my child is a target to be bullied, or my child is a target to be one doing the bullying, how can that parent address that? But no, I got two callers, and your station going to start off here shortly. I'm going to make one public announcement.
We'll answer that. I mean, just real quick on that. I think the parent, if the child is getting bullied, either way, they're going to have to be talk to about what's happening. Either way that is, they're going to have a conversation about it, and then may have to go and talk with someone about what's going on and utilize some of these things that I've mentioned here about asserting themselves, being able to stand up, establish, and you know, we're talking about establishing boundaries. They have to establish the boundaries. You know, have to listen to what's going on. Establish, you know, when somebody's doing this, these type of things, sometimes you have to stop people. You have to stop them and say, well, wait a minute, you know. Sometimes people don't do that. And so it's like you got to honor what, you know, what you feel and what's, you know, you got to deal with yourself.
Right.
You got to say, okay, this is what I don't want. This doesn't feel good to me. I guess it's really going within yourself and being true to yourself. If it doesn't feel good, you got to find a way to draw those boundaries.
Right.
Because I think drawing boundaries is one of the best things.
So can you say a parent should say to a child, you don't have to go for certain things. The parent should be very clear. You don't have to go for this, being talked about, being pushed around. And if you do, come to me. On the other hand, if a child sees their own child always pushing somebody or whatever, their parents should tell their child, but just plainly, we don't do that, and this is the reason why. But let me do this here. I got two callers. And I do want to announce to everyone, save the date for May 5th of this year, of course. We're going to do a Muslim folklore event on a national Zoom about a new book that's coming out about Imam Muhammad and Kira Lubick's agreement, a pact, and what that means for us today. It's written by a brother, he's an educator from Rome named Roberto Catanello. And so say the date. We get more information to you soon for May 5th for a national, really international Zoom for that day.
Okay.
But let me get my one caller here. They've been very patient. Very patient caller. 856, you are a very patient person. 856, your own words made people. Can you give us your first name and your city and your pressure, please?
Okay. I think this my name is Opana Ali. I'm from New Jersey. And I wanted to, at your conclusion, if I may, talk about when someone is doing something wrong. Say a husband is doing something wrong and the wife is really irritated by this because that is a form, can be a form of bullying, uncomfortable situation. So possibly I can go in at the end of your program.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. Thank you. We can bring you back on. If you can get prayer from one on your phone, so we can make in later on, then I know it's you. Okay?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you. One more caller here from 520. 520, thank you for your patience. Your own words make people. Can you give us your first name, city, and your question or comment, please?
As-salamu alaykum. This is Brother Mahdi Abdul Akbar in Tucson, Arizona. Brother Imam McKell, I really enjoyed the program this morning. And I am a retired member from the Felix Bilal in Los Angeles, California, the Muslim community. And I'm up in Tucson, Arizona, and it's an honor and a pleasure to be alive again this week, and I'm waiting on you to call me. As far as the guest lady earlier, I'd like to give a little information. I used to run a transitional house for homeless women and brothers and things. And sometime when a person asks you a question, try to listen to what they're saying, and then you'll be able to relate at the message that they are giving you. And sometime, you know, and then you can be able to communicate and better. I used to deal with family, sisters and husbands for about 6 months in Los Angeles, California before I retired and came up here. So I understand with us in this day and time, it's very important that the man and the wife, because you have children. And children is very important to us in this day and time because they live on one path this way and one path, and they have different things. So it's best to get the children together, children involved, and get them together and explain it to them so they can have a better understanding growing up in life. So that's what I like to say, you know. Mm-hmm. May the peace and love, yes, and love each, and I thank you for that much. What you say, brother, you ma'am?
No, I just wanted to make sure I heard you. I think what you were saying was that from your experience that sometimes a person is asking the question, but the question is really has a message in the question. And if you listen thoroughly to the question, is you say, oh, they're asking a question, but they're really saying something else. And so that's Mr. Latifi, what are your thoughts about that? Can a person who's suffering abuse be trying to message you through a cover or a cloak conversation?
I guess I'm not totally understanding exactly. Okay. I'm kind of getting the gist, but I'm not understanding the total.
Okay, let's see this right here. Okay, let's see this here. And even as being an email, a person will ask me a question, and you, on the surface, you may say, why are they asking that question? But if you listen to the whole question, they're really trying to give you a warning, or they're really trying to get some other advice without fully exposing themselves. They just ask a question and say, so is that another way of someone calling out for help?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, definitely, definitely. Mm-hmm. They can be asking you something, but they're really talking, they may be talking about themselves, and they may be reaching out for some help, but they may ask it in a way that really they want to know for themselves or directed to something that maybe happened to them, and then make it hypothetical or something.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Do we have time for one more caller before you go?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. My brother, my D, go to a call here from 201. Is that a New Jersey number? 201, you're on Workmate People. Can you give us your first name and city, please?
Ashton Laker, this is Zakia in Jersey City. I really enjoyed the program today. And I tried to get on earlier, but anyway, I think one of the big takeaways for me in this idea of bullying is oppression. I don't know if anyone had brought that up before, but to be bullied is to be oppressed. And Allah says, you know, oppression is worse than slaughter. So that's one of the things that I observed, because but I think one of the other things, and that's why this program is so helpful, is that it's education. We're learning. We need to learn about ourselves and our mates and our family. Mm-hmm. We need to learn about human nature and how it can be manipulated and how it can affect us. And so there's a science in it, and that's a science I think Allah wants us to know so that we can protect ourselves and we can be more useful to those people who are the victims of bullying and the bullies. The bullies and the victims both have issues that have to be addressed. Mm-hmm. So I thank Allah for this program today. And
thank you.
Inshallah, we look forward to hearing more about this.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you, sister. Alhamdulillah. Wonderful.
Let me just tell you very quickly, for those of AM360, if it goes off, you can call this number and continue this conversation. The number is 714-816-4673. And the program has also been archived. So everything we were saying is being saved, and you can listen to it and share it with a friend later on. Let's go to type in Worth My People, go to the Google, type in Worth My People, type in Latifa Hameen, spelled L-A-T, Nancy, Hamilton, Nancy, H-A-M-E-E-N, as in Nancy. I'll put in my name, and you put in, put in spousal abuse, and you should be able to share this with your friends later on. Sister Latifa, where are we at now?
Yes, yes.
Good progress.
Definitely. I will go on.
You know what?
Oh,
I'm sorry. I don't know if you got time
tonight,
but I have some
I can go on and call you on the other line because we're about there. It's going to probably go off. So I can just, I can come on. If you have other people you want to finish up some of the conversation, I can do that. We've got about another half hour.
Now, you are already called in to my line, so you're not, even if it's back to you.
I sure am.
Yeah.
All
we
right,
we even now.
We even.
Okay, now. I'll talk about
I'm gonna have to get off this one, and then I'm gonna call you back, and then I'll just press one when I call right back. Okay, but I have to get off this one when I disconnect. I'm gonna disconnect everything.
When you call back, a few comments about parental abuse, because some children abuse their parents. And friendship abuse, someone's your friend, but they abuse your friendship.
Okay, friends. Okay, I do have something with that. Some examples on friends, and we have parent abuse. Yeah, I have that too. Okay, I'm gonna call you right back. Inshallah. Thank you.
Okay, inshallah. Okay. In the meanwhile, we're gonna take a call from 773, your own words, my people. Give us your first name and your city, please. Alaykum
As-salam. This is Brother Bashir from Chicago. And
thank you again,
Imam, for this program. And just like to make a comment. On the opposite side of bullying and oppression, Allah says He's the most merciful, and He is the best of mercy giving. So He doesn't say I'm the oppressor. And if we're following the guidance that Allah has given us, then that is the attribute of Allah that we want to emulate in ourselves. Not oppression, and Allah gives us that guidance in the Quran because this is something that does happen in the world, and as the sister mentioned before, that Allah said in the Quran that oppression is worse than slaughter, and we had this saying. I remember reading it recently. Now, what Imam mentioned too. Give me freedom or give me death. Because sometimes when you're being oppressed, you'd rather be dead than living under those oppressive situations. And we've experienced that in slavery. And other people, too, who have been under oppressive governments, oppressive regimes, oppressive family situations. And Imam Wadi Muhammad, too, when he came into office, there was some situations in the Nation of Islam where some people were taking oppressive positions with the believers then.
Mm-hmm.
He pointed out, those situations and that this was wrong, it was incorrect, and we have to change that. And we have many oppressive situations that we see throughout the world. And Imam gave us our better than edict to remake the world. So this is one of the things. This is one of the things that we have to do in remaking the world. We see the oppressive situations that's happening in the world with Palestinians with Israel. We see that in South Africa, in that situation. We see it with the Uyghurs in Russia and many other situations. So Allah has pointed it out to us so that we resolve that and we'll have a better life because of it. So that's kind of important.
Yeah, yes. Thank you very much, Brother Bashir from Chicago. Abuse is a learned behavior. The process of unlearning it is very important, too. We have our Sister Latifa back. We're going to talk about also forgiveness and healing and reformation. I think that's important for us to discuss as well, because to go through this conversation in education is good, and we're very appreciative of it. But if we don't discuss healing, well, first forgiveness, yes, I don't think there's no healing unless you first have forgiveness. And sometimes we have to forgive ourselves. Sometimes we have to forgive ourselves for so we don't feel guilty. For even allowing that to happen or to put ourselves or our families in those situations because those are real difficulties that we have. But I think our brother, aside from bringing that up, even in the Nation of Islam, that there was some form of bullying. I put that in quotation marks, but that is a reality. Thank you, Brother Bashir.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. We go to our next caller here. Sister Latifa, so you know that your mic is on, so
yes,
you
are. I'm here.
Okay. And that caller here is 347. Thanks for calling Words Make People. Can you give us your first name and your city, please? Your question, a brief comment, please.
Yes. Assalamu alaikum. Sister Mahatma. Walaikum Assalam. Jamal Hassan Abdul Salam from New York area.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm very interested in further explanation and maybe broadening of the relationship of our environment to the state of abuse. And that, you know, one of the things that may affect us, either knowingly or unknowingly, are the elements in our environment that cause us to abuse or put us at risk of being abused. And generally, just want to say this and then I'll be through. The human being is created in a manner that it needs exposure and it needs to thrive in an environment of sanctuary. The home is the first sanctuary. It's the environment of the first level of safety and security that the baby or the infant needs in terms for it to survive and thrive. And of course, the mother who is the first caregiver, direct caregiver, by giving her body to the evolution, safe and secure evolution and growth of the baby. Even after the baby's born, she comes into this role and is given the tools and instruments that she needs to make sure that environment of growth is safe and secure. And it's not only for the baby, but for the entire family as it evolves, and also for the community. It extends and expands to meet those dire human needs that are possible. So maybe one way of addressing the impact of a bullying or bullied situation and personages to go back and have a discussion about the sanctuary, how we are evolving and being able to conceptualize and act upon, develop the true experience of safety and sanctuary for the human being. Without that,
yes,
we're at risk of being violated or violating others. I'll stop right there.
Yes, ma'am. I would first say this, if I may, Sister Latifah. Sister Mahopsa mentioned about the sanctuary of the home. And I want to take you back to the sanctuary before the home in the physical house, and that is the sanctuary of the womb of the mother.
Yeah.
And in the womb of the mother, you don't find abuse. Even if there are twins in there, you don't see the twins abusing, or triplets in there, you don't see them abusing each other. Allah is constantly giving us signs. Because now we know in the physical home, it could be a toxic environment, and no one realizes that they are intoxicated, all right? You don't realize. So we have to look at their first home, and again, that being the womb of the mother for 9 months, the child is protected as it grows and evolves. If we can go back and study that example, and it gives us more insight into these beautiful sayings of the prophet, that paradise is at the feet of the mother. You know, so all these things began to take shape, and why he said mother, 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 and then love your father. That is the first sanctuary. And if we can recreate that sanctuary of the mother's physical womb, the child comes from the womb straight from paradise, we can recreate that in the house and then into the classroom, into the neighborhood. Recreate that so that the evolvement and the development will not be one of abuse, but one of nourishment, you know, and all the good things that come with life. But Sister Latifah, I'd like to hear your thoughts as well.
I agree with you. That's like going back to our natural state. I think we've gotten out of that natural state. We're in a natural state, but like, you know, unnatural state, because you were mentioning before in the womb, there's none of this kind of thing. This happens for us once we are out of the womb, and an environment shapes us. You know, different things that are happening in the environment and the home. So we're really out of the natural role of what we should be in. So now here we are in this situation. So we're trying to rectify some of the things that have taken place in this society. And then, you know, coming back to the basics, to doing those things that come natural. You know, you watch a baby is so natural because they don't have all of those types. You know, of course, they don't have a lot of the things that we have or we go through, because they're at a very natural state, and you watch them at their natural state. We've learned so many different things, and here we are. So where do we go from here? That's why we're coming back and we're saying, okay, this has been happening here. But I think as Muslims, we have to be the example. I'm not saying that we're the only examples, but I'm saying that we have to start somewhere. We got to come back to our natural state, and that's why we're all here talking, you know, because we want to go back. It takes time, you know. Our motto at AM360 is, you know, we want to remake this world into a better place. And it's step by step by step by step, one step at a time, if you will. You know, but it starts somewhere. It has to start somewhere. So we're saying, okay, we're starting. we're continuing to move. And inshallah, back into that natural direction. So.
That's my thoughts. Are you there, brother, now? Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry about that. I was on mute just for a second. I was just fighting this cold. But anyway, let's talk about parental abuse. Because the Quran, you know, the Quran gave us a big challenge. And I'm saying this from my own personal experience. My father passed 2 years ago this coming April. He was 92 years old. And he reverted back to some of his childhood tactics. I was like, man, you must have been something else. In my mind, I was saying out loud. I said, you must have been something else coming up. You know. But anyway, parental, the Quran says you can't even say oof to your parents. So the Quran has really raised the bar, right, on taking care of your parents, be kind to them, lower the wings. But parental abuse happens. How do we identify that? How do we avoid doing it our own self? Because the standard of the Quran is so high, you can't even think in your mind. I mean, you can't whisper from your breath. And I'm telling you from my own personal experience, I was not always an angel. Sometimes I was like, come on, Daddy, why you got to do bad in this? And I would feel bad because the Quran told me I shouldn't have said, But on the worst, that's on probably on the softer side. But we have seen or heard of children who wanted to pay their parent back because they had some hangover from childhood. And we see some who just wanted to get the check each month, et cetera, et cetera. What are your thoughts on parental abuse?
Well, I'm with you. The reverence, the womb that bore you, the Quran says, I can't imagine some of the things that go on with the parents, because in my mind, I'm with you with that. I've always been the type of person I couldn't even see, like, talking. I mean, you know, I don't want anybody to abuse me. If I feel like I'm being abused, you know, by a parent or something when I was younger or whatever, I would just kind of leave. I never argued back. You know, I'd say something to my mom that I never argued back with her, or I never got in the face that I would just leave if I was feeling like a little upset about something. I was like, okay, you know, so-and-so, then I'll just leave or something like that. Because in my mind, you reverence the womb that bore you, no matter how bad. The only way you disobey them is if they're trying to get you to, you know, to change your religion, try to get you to worship something that you know other than Islam. So that, in that sense, but I don't understand in my mind, I can't fathom how people can talk really bad back to their parents, smart mouth, or call them out of their name, or doing any of those things. I can't even fathom that in my mind. I mean, the thought of that makes me cringe. So I just never had that kind of thought pattern in my mind. I see it. I see what people, they fight their parents, they'll hit, you know, and I don't know. I can't. It doesn't compute for me,
right,
that kind of thing that people do.
But what do we
do
about
even
that?
Before
what
I was
do
slam,
about
I always had that. Huh?
Yeah, okay, but what do we do? But what we do, we see this in society or indications of it in a family, you know, you know, how do we address, educate people who may be victimized by their senior parents?
If we have signs of it, you know, of course, we know the things that the neglect and untreated, you know, as children just get, like you said, they sometimes they'll get a check and they're taking care of them and they're really not taking care of them because you can see the hygiene, bad hygiene, you know, everything you can see, you know, these things, a lack of the bruises, cuts, and scars or anything. We know something is going on with that. So that means that how can you prevent it? Okay, so
yes.
The first and the
diet.
First and the foremost steps
toward preventing elder abuse is to recognize that no one should be subject to violence. Of course, we know that, or any of that stuff. So what can we do? Education, number one. Education is a cornerstone of preventing elderly abuse. Nursing homes, the media coverage in nursing homes, I mean, doing stuff like that, because sometimes in these nursing homes, they do the same thing. So most of the abuse occurs in the home by the family members. There needs to be a concerted effort to educate the public about special needs and problems of older adults and risk factors for abuse. Respite care. When you're caring for an elderly parent, you need a break. So it's good to put them in respite care for maybe the weekend or something. Because if you feel stressed and you're at your limit and you feel as though you can't take anymore, it's best to do that. Get some time. Get away. Get a weekend away. Get a week away. You can put them in respite care. That's just for a short time. Help you to regroup, get yourself back together, you know, especially if they have certain needs, you know, if they're really disabled, you know, social contact and support, you know, go to support groups.
Can you call that same abuse?
I can find another number. I'll see if I can find another number on here. I'll look. Social contact and support groups, counseling for behavioral or personal problems in the family, or anybody that have mental health issues. This big thing here, Brother Man, mental health issues is a really big thing in the society right now. Mental health issues that so many mental health issues that we see in the society.
We get down to about 10, 12 minutes, but go ahead.
Okay. I forgot about the time. No, I wanted to let you know, next week, I know we're going to be on when you're on, but from 12 p.m. to 2 Eastern Standard Time, we're going to be doing on AM 360 next Sunday, we will be doing something on trauma. We're going to be doing mental health, minding your mind, and it's a trauma.
Mm-hmm.
It's on trauma bonding, what trauma does to your mind, the bonding of trauma, and preventative measures on trauma. So we're going to be talking about next week. All right, so looking for a number because I know we only have a few more
callers here. Looking, I'm going to get my caller here.
Okay.
Caller from 773-449, 773-449, your own words make people. Can you give us your first name and your city, please?
I just wanted to, when Sister Latifah was saying what we are overall are just getting back to our natural nature. And, you know, it's like understanding is the best thing in the world. And when we begin to understand these issues, we can heal from them. And then I ask the question, where does forgiveness come in? Because sometimes people don't know that they're in a certain mental state. And so when Allah bless us to come into that level of knowledge, some things we have to forgive. And it's not so much of what somebody did to us that we've forgiven them. We've forgiven them also for our own self so we can have a healing as well. So I think that's a very important thing to be able to forgive. Okay.
Thank you.
And also, thank you. And for part of that forgiveness, and Sister Latifah helped me out with this, the first part of that forgiveness may be you forgiving yourself for finding yourself being I think that comes first.
Definitely.
And then you can begin forgiving the other person, maybe. Because once you can forgive yourself, then you can begin your own fear, because you got to heal yourself, forgive yourself first. Give yourself first, and then begin to work on that other person, And then you have to begin reforming yourself first. There's a lot of soul searching here, like how in the heck did I find myself in this situation again? Right?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's habitual. And my own career as a firefighter, I've been to a lot of domestic abuses runs because they get to physical violence. And sometimes we go into the same house over and over again. Sometimes she got the best of her, and sometimes the other way around. Like, and how often do a person do that? It begins with a forgiveness and the healing information of yourself.
I found I have the Elder Care Locator Helpline.
Okay.
It's 1-800.
1-800.
677.
Okay.
1116. 1-800-677-1116.
And what does that number do? What is that like?
It's an elder care locator helpline for elder care. And then they have an elder fraud hotline. If anybody's interested in the elder fraud hotline, and that's they only open from 10 to 6. Now the hotline, the locator helpline is open 24 hours, but the elder fraud hotline is only open from 10 to 6 Eastern Standard Time, Monday through Friday. This is for fraud, for elderly fraud. 833-372-8311. 833-372-8311. And I wanted to give that number out again for the domestic violence. Helpline again, okay, the domestic violence, 1-800-799-7233,
1-800-799-7233. Now, you said that number, that last number you gave, that's a national, you say international.
Elder
fraud international
hotline.
No, the one you just gave, that's for the abuse.
Oh, the one I just gave was domestic violence? That's domestic violence hotline.
Yes.
And
but that's a 24-hour.
Yes, that's 24 hours, too. The only one that's 8 to 6 Eastern Standard is the fraud hotline of elder fraud. You know anybody that's...
Well, they haven't started a bit.
Pardon me?
Yes. But now for the elder care locator hotline, if you know of an elderly person that's being abused, you can call on the person's behalf.
Yes.
And I've seen these calls are taken with anonymous. You don't have to give your name per se or who you are.
No. Yeah.
Good.
Something like that.
Okay. Let me see. Abuse. I think I covered anything. And I had on my.
I think we did most of them. We just didn't do the friends. Now, let me just do that really, really fast on friends abuse. Sometimes you may have a friend, and you all may be okay, but when you find yourself being the one that's giving everything in a friendship, and you're the one that they only call on you when they want something or need something, you know, that's a problem. And when it's always their way or the highway. Sometimes you have friends like that they don't want to be bothered unless you're doing something for them. And it's all about them. It's all about you doing something for them. See, abuse doesn't have to be jumping on and all of that. It could be mental abuse. You know, you have a friend that constantly puts you down. Every time, you know, you're in their company, they're saying things about you, and they're always rude to you. Different things like that. How they want you to do what they want you to do, but when you ask them to do something, they don't have time to do what you want them to do. You have to reassess your friendship in situations like that. especially when it's subtle, but emotional, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, can especially a so-called friend not necessarily put you down, they're putting down your family, but they're putting down somebody who's close to you. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay, but that was,
about everybody, and you know, and it's like you can kind of tell because it's so lopsided. The relationship is so lopsided. It's, oh, you know, it's my friend. You're only their friend when they need something from you, and beware of your friend when they're always the victim and they never do anything wrong, and you know, and they always want you to come to their rescue, and you know, so those little subtle things that you have to watch for too in situations.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they get to use you up, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
So especially, you know, that thing that people don't feel like, oh, that's a thing. Yes, there's abuse and bullying with your friends as well as everything else. So you can't, any kind of relationship that you have with someone, there can be some kind of disproportionate. When you find a disproportionate in your relationships, one is, you know, the control, and it's unequal. You all do not have a equal partnership. I mean, everything's never going to be 50-50, but you do have a give and take. When you have someone that takes all the time and never gives, you have to kind of question those kind of relationships.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying. It's always a give and take wherever
you go. Let me do this here. With a few minutes left, we have Sister Sutala. She can come on. She's going to have to be kind of brief because we're toward the end, but I do want to keep my word to my sister, and she wants to make some comments.
The part is that we try to make things right, okay? So I'm going to read where a husband and wife had a problem, and he's asking for her forgiveness, okay? There's been a breakdown in our marriage. Reconciliation has been met, but please don't expect a deep-down love from me, at least not now, not yet. The road back to a healthy marriage may be long and cumbersome, but I'll continue to seek Allah's help that has never failed come. And if we travel this road together, there's a fact we're sure to find a deeper and more meaningful love, the best of yours and mine.
All right. I like that. I like that a lot. That's you know, as they say, don't be low and be strong. she did it. She took care of the business. Thank you, Sister Katana.
You're welcome.
You make the post that. Okay, I got my sister. She's the sister, Zakiya. You have a comment for Sister Zakiya?
Oh, yeah, I just wanted to tell Sultana how much I enjoyed that. That was beautiful. That was really all the money. Alhamdulillah.
Thank you very much. Alaykum as-salam. So in my brief comment, and I'll let Sister Latifah have the last word, is that dear Muslim men and women, study the Quran, study the life model of Prophet Muhammad, and live your marriage accordingly. Anything you need is there. Don't follow the cultural influences from overseas. Sister Latifah, anything you want to say in closing?
I just want to say, you know, thank everyone for coming on. And there's so much work that we have to do with all of these things. There's always something to do. But I just stay in the direction. I ask the Lord to guide me and keep me in the direction and helping humanity, and remaking this world. I want to be a part of that. And I ask the Lord to continue to give me the strength, continue to give me the whatever I need to continue this journey called life.
Amen. Alhamdulillah. And thank you very much. And so that was the clue I put on today. Just an announcement. We have saved the date for May 5th. That's going to be a date with the Muslim community and the Focalari. It's going to be the releasing of a book by Roberto Catanaro from Rome. It's called The Pact, P-A-C-T, The Pact between Imam Muhammad and Kira Lubick. So we're going to have, ask each community, the Muslims, to get together with the Focalari in your area, have a dinner that day at a certain hour. We're going to do a national, really international Zoom. And Roberto himself will come on as well. And we plan to have the book ready maybe 2 weeks before as well. But it's speaking about the pact between Imam W.D. Muhammad and Kira Lubick. So we thank you very much. Tune in to the session every week, every of the week. We have programs on. I did not have time to mention them all now, so please forgive me. We thank you for your support. The show is being recorded, it's archived, and we'll be ready to share it within 5 to 10 minutes, inshallah. So Latifa, thank you for your wisdom, your insights, and your dedication to this issue.
Alhamdulillah.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thank you for your time. Appreciate you having me on.
You're more than welcome. We appreciate you. With that said, assalamu alaikum. See you next Sunday.
People, every day, trying to do things their own way. But everything you see, touch, smell, those are things that tell you words. To think twice before you step on your advice, make sure your words hold true, cause people hold you to your words. They make people, and people, they make the world go round. Words make people, check out the words that make your world. If your words are jive, then jive you are, cause those type of words, they don't go far. Thinking starts, word can buy, from ideas deep in your mind. It's words that make people, and people that make the world go round. Words make people, check out the words that make your mind. Thank you.
people. Thank you, WD, for setting me free with words.
Assalamu alaikum. I forgot one thing. Don't forget about the abuse of the Palestinian people. And don't forget about the Jews that were abused on October 7th. But we definitely cannot forget about the Palestinians that have been abused to the 24,000. Abuse is abuse. Assalamu alaikum.